This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. One in the books. Still two to go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday after a full weekend of basketball and other things. Mucci Norris filling in for Barry Laminack, who will be back tomorrow. Nick has been heartbroken. He has been sending out texts, tweets, and other things to get people to try and pick up his spirits until Barry gets back. But it will all be okay tomorrow as Barry returns to the airwaves.
I didn't know where he was going with that at first, but then I was like, oh.
No, nothing bad, of course. I mean, except if you're me. But other than that, Mucci's been doing a great job. Nick and I said we had a great list of people filling in, and Mucci has been fantastic. We've been friends for a long time, so it's been makes it easy when you step in. If you want to reach Mucci, and he's a good follow, at iMucciNorris. One word, obviously, on Twitter. But iMucciNorris. And I asked you in the break. I didn't remember this, but... people, I thought, would say you were trying to get lunch money all the time when you were a kid, but where did the nickname Mucci come from? You know, I know you too well, so I gotta throw that in there, but you know.
Oh, man. My grandfather gave me that nickname. Cab Calloway song, Minnie the Moocher, was one of his favorite songs.
Yeah?
So, yeah, he'd been calling me Mucci Moocher for as long as I can remember, so.
Cool.
Just stuck.
Just stuff you guys need to know out there. Like, I still think it was a mesmerizing story when I found out why Mario wore 17. Did you have a reason why you wore the numbers you wore?
Nah.
12 and 25?
Nah. I just picked the number and that was it.
Okay.
Only one year that I didn't, I wore 33 when I was trying to be Larry Bird.
How'd that work out for you?
Huh?
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought you wore 12 because you emulated our guy Matt Maloney. Just throw it out there, too. Matt's a friend.
Both teams play hard.
Shot after shot.
I can throw that out there. I can throw that out there.
Holes in my shirt. Holes in my shirt.
Come on, man. All right. So I did want to get to some non-sportsy stuff so we can switch gears and get to more playoff stuff as well. If you've seen the Honda commercials lately for Honda, they've got their Formula One driver, Michael, I believe it's Hinchcliffe. Is their James Hinchcliffe, sorry. He's their number one driver for Honda. He's been doing commercials. But ironically, he ends up in a race this weekend, and the sideline guy at the race finally gets him on camera, and he has to admit that, you know what, sometimes you got to go, you got to go. And even in a race car, there's not exactly a porta potty on the back of the car, and things go down to your leg.
I think it's cool for him to admit it, but I've always wondered about that. Like, nobody ever, you know.
You can hear this sound clip.
Got to hit the head.
We got the interview, and the bottom line is, when you talk about teams that pee down their leg, here's a driver that does too.
Well, let me tell you something, Kev. I always maintained that I knew at some point in my career it would happen. And there's a great story from Toronto in 2014 when poor Carlos Munoz was sitting in the car begging to be let out. We were under red flag conditions, same kind of deal. And he finally said, guys, I'm sorry, I can't hold it. And they said, you can't get out. He pees in the seat. Not 30 seconds later, race control comes over the radio and says, all right, driver's out, we're done. Well, I was sitting there during that first red, and I was begging to get just 3 minutes. It's all you need. 3 minutes, wheel off to wheel on. And when we got going again, my legs were shaking. I had to go so bad. I'm like, I can't drive a race car like this. So under caution, it took me a full lap. It was one of the least comfortable experiences of my entire life. But I can officially say I've joined the likes of Will Power and Dario Franchitti and other greats that have peed themselves in their suit. So you're talking to a man that just wet himself.
I hope, first and foremost, that he had tapered ankles, because otherwise, it's one thing to feel the warmth, warming sensation of the heated river. But then, if you're not fastened on the ankle, that's ending up on the floorboards, and that's a hell of a pit crew that's going to have to clean that up.
Yeah, that's something I think would happen to me, considering all the vibration and all everything that you have to focus on. There's no way in hell I would want to be able to be, you know, I'd be able to stop that. But the other thing is, some of these race cars may not be in shape, but a lot of them are. And look at Mucci Norris. He's got the same gallon of water that he had last week. If a part of staying in shape is keeping yourself hydrated, Man, if you really got to go and you got all these long laps that you got to deal with.
But with all the technology in sports today, right? Wouldn't you think there would be like a Wizinator, some way to hook up like some kind of tubing so that if in case these things arise, you might have to, you know, if they arise, avoid the surprise. Hit the straw that's tied to your thigh. How about that? I just made that entire flow up. But you would think there's some kind of cure for that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to actually consider that and adjust the design of the car for something like that. I guess because it doesn't happen that often, but apparently...
Next race, they could call him Puddles Hitchcliffe.
He's probably going to get teased for a while, for sure.
Oh, man.
And just walking out of the car, I don't know if, like, the suit kind of prevents other people from seeing it, like the wet spot.
You can hear him walking from the car.
Oh, that's a lot of urine, dude, if it sounded like that.
You're in trouble is what you're talking about at that point. And then he says 3 minutes if you're standing, but it took him a whole lap. But a lap's only like, what, when you're flying around there, it's 60 seconds, right?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's a trade question.
Exactly.
That's the reason for me to be peeing in my pants right there.
Yeah, but I'm like, man, I guess you wear diapers. You know? Get yourself some Depends.
That's a violation.
You know, They can be the soaker for you.
That's a whole nother issue in sports.
Something to contemplate as you guys drive around in rush hour traffic. Because you could be stuck in that situation, too.
And you know what? Everywhere I go, and I'm just going to tell you, it's always an empty water bottle in my back seat on the floor.
I will tell you this. My dad's dad, my grandfather, was a delivery man for dry cleaning. And in the dry cleaning truck, sometimes you were caught in traffic, whatever, and he took a hack, like one of those saws, and he cut out a hole in the baseboard of the truck and taught my dad at a young age, when you got to go, you got to go.
Got to go.
So you think it's the radiator leaking, and it's actually just leaking.
And you know, you here in Houston, it's traffic.
And there's heat. Chuck wants to get in here. He's got a Rockets question. Chuck, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, there's just one thing I need to ask and see if you see this too, Joel and Mucci. What I'm noticing now, man, for the last month is that the flow of the offense seems to be less ball movement. Like when James would do the ISOs, it was always because somebody switched and he had a big on him. Now I see him ISOing just anybody who's guarding him, which creates less ball movement, and we just look like we're, you know, the shooters aren't catching it in rhythm anymore. I just want to know if y'all see that too. Thank you.
Good observation, Chuck. Go ahead, Mooch.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with you. We were talking about it earlier. They have to get that ball movement. They can't just keep coming down ISO on every play. You have to get some movement, get guys moving, get guys out of position, create mismatches so you can expose certain players and create these opportunities where guys can be great. But you can't go through a series coming down every time you just take it out, give it to one guy, and we ISO on right away.
Nick? Got anything to add on that one?
I mean, I agree with him. I don't know if that's necessarily the only problem, but yeah, I do agree with Chuck. I mean, it is a good observation, no question, but there's a combination of issues that caused them to lose this game. Missing three-pointers, defense was a part of it, perimeter defense in specifically, but look, they're going to have to turn all that around tonight.
The other thing I mentioned, and I mentioned it before the series started, James started to get more demonstrative when he's going to go one-on-one. He starts doing like the bullfighter, the bull. He starts scratching, you know, he goes back and forth between his legs, and he starts bobbing his head. That's a signal if you're a good coach, whether you be an assistant or a head coach.
He's coming.
You know exactly what he's doing. He's not running the offense, and he's not looking to pass and pick and roll. He's going one-on-one, and that's where you can send help. You can double team. You can make it more difficult for him. He's tipping his hand too quick. It's like tipping pitches in baseball. So,
I agree.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We'll get to some of the other series in the NBA next and some other things. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listening line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep hour number two of the show. Let's get into some other basketball, boys, shall we? I do, by the way, check the text messages along the way doing the job that Barry normally does. But someone came out there and said, Mooch, good to hear your voice on the radio. Been in Houston from the era, which I would assume is the Dribbleaholics era of you, Coutinho Mobley, and Steve Francis. But he said he's been in Houston for 7 years now. He misses home. I don't know if it's near you or not, but he said, I just want to hear you say something like that joint, like that slim to make my day. There is no doubt you and I were talking about on the break. Your phrase is always about that joint. And we're not talking about the 420. We're talking about just in everyday conversation, man, you make a move, Joe, on that joint right there. You should have pulled up right away. I mean, that's your thing.
Absolutely. Got it. You know, pass that joint.
Yep.
Or if he step out, you know what I'm saying?
Be careful
go through the
there.
Legs of that joint.
Could have the sure authorities knocking joint. On the studio door. Pass what joint, sir?
Hey, Slim. Hold up, Slim. Let me holler at you, Slim. Like, that's just our slang at home, man. And I never let it go. I'm a DC guy. You know, I love
we
it.
We appreciate
here in Houston,
you on
but
radio
I,
letting it
I
go.
I can't let that part go. When I'm having a normal conversation, it's joint slim.
Well, that's why slang kind of sticks with you. Sometimes it evolves, and it also depends on where you're from. So I get it. I totally get it.
So let's get into some of these other games. Nick, did you watch a game last night? Did you watch Cavs-Pacers?
I did. I did watch part of that. I did watch a part of the Washington game as well. But the Cavs-Pacers game was kind of fun just because of all the drama that was surrounding. Lance Stephenson trying to be that annoying, pestering type of player that he always is in the playoffs, I guess. So that was kind of fun to watch.
I was going to ask you, Mooch, as a player on the other team, how do you – I don't know if there was – in your era, I don't know if there was a dude like that so much. But how do you try – how do you avoid – not wanting to engage with that guy, whether you want to knock his block off or you just want to get up in his grill and tell him to slow his roll? Because LeBron has done it over the years better than most. But you could see, even last night, and it wasn't just, there's so many guys on that Cleveland team that would like to just, how Jeff Green avoided after that complete head tackle. And the call itself was a little bit mesmerizing to me, too. But that's one of those deals where I don't know how you hold back from wanting to drill that guy.
That's costing guys too much. It's costing guys too much. So now, you know, it's just a guy with antics, man. Just someone trying to create
Is Rodman a good example? Rodman was too talented, too, because he still people forget.
Yeah, but he did
forget,
that, especially when he played the mailman.
Oh, I was going to say Karl Malone, yeah.
Oh, yeah, knock him down, grab him, you know, do some things to try to get up under his skin. And, you know, like you said, LeBron's by far one of the best at avoiding those kind of issues. He's done a great job not even paying them no attention.
I think it only got underneath his skin once the entire game, and Lance had not stopped.
He got a T for it, too. You talk about the shove at the...
Well, Lance didn't even shove him. He was just in his... He was kind of in his face, and he kind of put his body up real close to LeBron, and then LeBron shoved him.
That's what I'm saying. LeBron shoved. Now, they were saying he shouldn't get the T because he didn't fully extend. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to draw the line and say, look, he antagonized him to the point where you got to just get out of my personal space.
Yeah. And I think the only thing you can do with that is kind of go back at Lance in terms of being in his face, knowing that you don't care, looking him right in the eyes. But he doesn't have the ball all the time and long enough for you to really do that. But someone like LeBron does and some of the other teammates on Cleveland does. So he's just out there pestering you, and it's hard. He's that guy that's kind of like Beverly. You love him when he's on your team.
Good point.
You hate him when he's playing against someone playing against you.
But you it should be useless. It shouldn't work. It shouldn't bother these guys. Like, he's flopping anyway. He's trying to create, you know, you to swing your arm, you do something, and these guys are calling text way too fast. Because in old school basketball, you could get knocked, taken out of the air, slammed, and it was just a foul.
Well, I'll say this. He got a little sleeping giant lie, too. Yeah. Instead, you could see late in the game, LeBron put him on his hip and said, okay, you want me to really get angry, and if I can't hit you, I'll get some contact with you, but I'll show you. And he scored at will down the stretch whenever Stephenson was on him because he's like, man, I've had enough of this.
And I learned that from some of the old school guys. You know, you don't retaliate by just hitting somebody. You catch them in the middle of play, somewhere doing a screen, somewhere where you got the ball. There are plenty spots in the game where you can hit someone. But the thing that's missing to me is where's the guy on Cleveland's team that comes in and levels him?
Yep. Well, Kendrick Perkins is sitting right there, and I'm thinking, check him in for a minute and
just
a half.
Just for a pick and roll.
And either drop a hammer, elbow, forearm, or something and send a message.
That's it. That's what has to happen.
Because LeBron will pay the fine.
It's always been that way, though. It's always been a guy on somebody's team that you know that's going to lay wood on you.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I first got in, running past Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, guys. It was a nightmare. Yeah. It was a nightmare.
I can tell you this. When I was a ball boy growing up in Milwaukee, it was the Bucks-Sixers rivalry was huge. And and this is when Barkley was coming up really, really dominant. And Paul Mokeski was on the Milwaukee roster for Don Nelson. And the only thing he was there for was to antagonize. And it worked. A couple times in the regular season, Don Nelson would check Mokeski in. And his only duty was to get under Barkley's skin. And before you know it, they're both throwing haymakers. And Nelly looks at, he laughs. He wouldn't say this to the media. But in the locker room, he's like, I'll take that trade all day long. We lose Mokeski, they lose Barkley. I'll take my chances. We'll win that game. And that's the life of the goon in hockey and even in basketball. It used to be that way. Mm-hmm. But you look at it now, and we've said this for how long, Nick? I've been preaching this since you and I've known each other. The Rockets have been lacking that guy for so long, and they finally thought they had it in Nene, and it wasn't there. I think P.J. Tucker might be as close to it, that guy as they've had in
years. They just need to turn him loose. Yeah. They just need to turn him loose.
Yeah. Beverly was Beverly was kind of that guy, but he was just too small.
He'll instigate it, but he won't end it. Yeah, he just harassed guys. But yeah. I mean, I'm talking about that guy that you knew when he stepped on the floor, you better be paying attention because you knew you was probably going to get hit.
And LeBron, how much of it is like you don't show your anger when he's in your face, Lance is in your face, you don't show your anger. That way, when you do try to get him back on the other end, the ref doesn't know that you're angry in the first place. You know what I mean? So you set that mean screen or you set that pick that's just really aggressive.
The more you show the reaction, the more he knows he's getting to. He's going to keep doing it. He's going to amp it up because he knows it's working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what makes it crazy, too. And Mooch and I were talking in the break, and I looked it up. We couldn't remember LeBron sitting down last night, but he actually played 46 of the 48. And you and I said this last week when you were on the show. I just can't see him consistently keeping up with that kind of grind, 46, 48 minutes a game for them to win. Yeah, they won, but they got to start getting some easier wins where they can kind of scale back on him. Because again, just like we've been saying about the Rockets, it's only going to get tougher as the road gets longer. And as this long haul keeps going on, with him logging those kind of minutes, that's a danger zone you don't want. Because if you lose him, you're done.
Yeah, but he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to carry the load.
Like, what's the difference between him and Hakeem? Because Hakeem was playing games like that all the time. Yeah, but 45, 46, 47 minutes.
And I agree. That's why those players are who they are. They have to be able to produce at these moments. So they may have to play whole games. Because, I mean, think back. Jordan logged crazy minutes. I mean, they came out, but...
Now, how much of a difference, because Nick did, he went back and researched it and saw some of the minutes per game Dream was playing. But the thing is from a post player, you do get plenty of times to catch your breath because you're down on the block and you're not up and down in it. LeBron, George, those guys, you're up and down in it. And in a series like this where there is a lot of transition, it takes its toll a lot more than a post player.
Yeah, but I think that's where he has to get smarter. You know,
pick your spots to not run.
Yeah, let somebody else bring the ball up court. Sit on a box sometimes. Stop getting the ball on the perimeter and having to use so much energy just to get by a guy. Like, he has to pick his spots, but he should be able to log those minutes and still be productive.
So we got a 2-2 series there. There's several other 2-2 series to talk about. And then Knuckles wants to talk about the one series that ended rather abruptly. Sorry, people in Portland, but your little heyday run is over. The 3 seed is gone. Ding dong, the Blazers are dead. New Orleans and the Pelicans do damage there. Knuckles wants to get in here and talk about the Pelicans. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, look, you can tell Barry is toward the north because Mooch is doing a great job right now.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate that, man.
But anyway, my question is, with Boogie Cousins, if he come back from his injury 100%, do you think he's going to be able to play at this pace that the Pelicans are going at right now? And you know, is it swaying him away from the Pelicans or toward the Pelicans?
It's a great question, Knuckles. Thanks, man. I appreciate that because I was thinking the same thing watching him on the sidelines because he's not at Coachella anymore. I was thinking to myself, does he fit with that squad playing that way? Or do they prove to themselves they don't need to spend the money on him? Maybe they just need some other pieces around AD and Holiday and those guys.
I think they keep him.
Really?
I think they keep him. I wouldn't let a talent, that type of talent, go anywhere. because he'll run up and down the floor. He's just been playing a certain way. Mm-hmm. He has no problem with getting up and down the floor. Boogie is kind of like Anthony Davis. He can handle the ball in the perimeter. He shoots threes, so there won't be a problem there. But I see where you're coming from, but no, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think they're going to do everything they can to keep him there, especially with what we're seeing from Jrue Holiday right now.
And Mirotić.
And what's your guy name that run the point?
Which guy? Rajon Rondo?
Playoff Rondo.
But I'll say this. Under the radar, one of the best pickups late in the season was Mirotić.
Absolutely.
Because Mirotić has allowed them to have the comfort of a guy that can go on the low block. Mm-hmm. He can knock down the three. He plays hard on both ends of the floor. And the one thing that I will say this in terms of why you keep Boogie Cousins is because you always look for that advantage that no other team has in the league. There's not a team in the league that has two post players that have the athleticism and the ability to shoot facing the basket like those two guys. If there is a way to make it work, I think that you have a distinct advantage over every team in the league, because if you force them to play your tempo, and we know it slows down in the playoffs, try and stop a team with two low post players.
Scary.
Call Kevin McHale. Remind him of what he dealt with when Portland had two post players and one of them was LaMarcus Aldridge and was killing you and you had no answer for it.
But I said that last season. I'm like, man, Boogie Cousins is a talent that you deal with his personality. I said this before he left the Kings and went to the Pelicans. Now, I'm assuming Boogie's matured a tad bit, looked back at that King situation and kind of realized that he was being too immature. He's still kind of a little immature.
Mario Elie. I'm telling you right now, the biggest problem has never been Boogie Cousins' ability, because everybody to a man will tell you the most talented center in the game. But what's going on between his ears? And nobody got a clear shot except for Boogie, and no one knows what's going on up there. That's where it all starts from.
Yeah, but you know, things change when you get into a better environment too. And we haven't heard too many things going wrong with him down there with the Pelicans as like it was in Sacramento.
Plus, the Kentucky connection helps.
Oh, absolutely.
He and Davis and having known each other and all that other stuff helps from college.
And that makes can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah. All right, so we just got to a couple series. Plenty more to get to. Toronto and Washington are tied at two. So are Boston and Milwaukee. Get to those. And the San Antonio Spurs finally won a game in the playoffs, El Jefe. Doesn't mean they're going to win the series, but at least they did enough to set a record for Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. All that and more coming up on the second half. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Can't afford a
thing on TV. Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back. Second half of the show. 90 in the rear view, 90 still to go. It is Mucci Norris in for Barry. It's Joel, it's Nick. We're having some fun here. Talking about certain things we can't talk about on the air. Including the sexual preference of players and referees across the league. Some known, some not. But with that, you were showing me a video of one of the Blazer players that had a little up close and personal encounter with an official during a skirmish in that New Orleans Portland series. But New Orleans wins that series. How big of a what kind of match are they going to give the Warriors?
They're going to give them more than they can handle. I think just, you know, running through the Blazers the way they did, we, you know, no one foreseen that. It just was, you know, it was kind of a like, oh, this is going to be a tough series. But I honestly felt like Portland might win it because the guards were playing great at the time.
Right.
But I had no idea they was going to take it like that.
The thing is to me, not only did they take it, getting away from our conversation in the break, but besides taking it, they stayed away from the one area where I thought they could at least get some more offense, and that was on the low block. They were worried so much about that backcourt that they completely avoided Nurkic, who, since he's been a Blazer, has been a triple-double machine, has proven he can do a lot of things to facilitate your offense, especially when your guards aren't playing well. They didn't do that. And as we all mentioned, Playoff Rondo is a different beast, and he is breaking it down to where it'll be interesting to see how he matches up against Golden State, whether they have Steph or not.
Yeah, he's going to. I think he's going to cause them some problems because breaking that defense down is what Rondo has done everywhere he's been, and I think that's what made New Orleans look so good. Is he was constantly finding guys in rhythm, making passes, making plays that you wouldn't expect him to make in the situations, but. He navigated that team to a great series.
So they sit and they wait, and thanks to the San Antonio Spurs getting a win yesterday, Greg Popovich still, of course, dealing with and mourning the loss of his wife. So with him out, the Spurs win one for Pop. They extend the series. They get the victory. It goes back to Golden State. I don't think it's going to last longer than that. But at the same time, it also gives Parker and Ginobili the all-time record for a duo for wins in playoff history.
Wow.
That's something when you think about all the things that were done in terms of someone 40 or over being able to get double figures in a game, and Ginobili did that. And you look at the things that people kind of sleep on, the accomplishments of those two dudes. And it wasn't just about Tim Duncan. Those two guys are going to end up in the Hall of Fame someday because not only what they've done for their countries in France and in Argentina, but just what they've done as NBA pros has been phenomenal.
Absolutely. You don't have anyone. They probably don't get the other championships without those guys.
Right.
We probably won't see them. You know, they won their first one in the lockout year when I was in Seattle. So,
05?
Yep. That's 99.
The 99, right. That was Mario's team. Mario's third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would have, you know. I just think that those two players are the reason that they move forward to the front of the line as far as teams going to the NBA.
Before we get on to another series, Patrick wants to get in here and talk about Mirotić and the Pelicans. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I had a comment that I and kind of a question at the end. So, like, two players, two Bulls cast-offs are surprising me and I think really are going under the radar of how well they're playing in the playoffs. And that's Rajon Rondo and Nikola Mirotić. And I think they're making, or they're helping, the Pelicans to really be a dangerous team. And I think, you know, it's not a sexy pick. It's not a sexy team. But I personally think they can make a whole lot of noise. And the question is, do them being cast off with also the possibility of this upcoming draft, you know, maybe being a bust for the Bulls, will Garpax, you know, Gar Foreman and John Paxson finally be ousted, or are they just going to be there for the rest of the month?
Good question, Patrick. Thanks for your listening, and don't be a stranger. What do you got, Mooch? I mean, look, from my perspective, Paxson and Gar have been on the hot seat for a while because you had to move Jimmy Butler because, you know, it didn't work with Rondo. And look, it didn't work with Rondo in Dallas either. Rondo, let's not be coy about this. Rondo has worn out his welcome in more than one spot. And this is, I think, a mature Rondo saying, I don't have that many more opportunities coming my way. I better make the most of this opportunity. And he has. To his credit, whatever he's doing come playoff time, and because he's a smart player, he's been able to orchestrate the landscape and get a team to play even better. Not that, you know, we know it's been Holiday and it's been the Brow, but he's contributed in a lot of ways. And I already touched on what Mirotić has meant. The Bulls situation is different. The Bulls situation is one where you made this move and you never get equal value for a superstar when you push him out. And now with some of the guys that you got back, yeah, Zach LaVine started to find somewhat of a jump shot. He's better. Dunn has been a huge disappointment. And a high draft pick. I think at some point, you know, the sand runs through the hourglass and time's up. This might be it for the Bulls, but let's see what they do in the draft to try and salvage it before you start writing them off.
Yeah, because if they don't get it together going into this next season, I think they'll all be out. I think this draft is just that important for them. Because like you said, it's going to be hard for them to lure to get the major players to want to come play there. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's the reverse role of the Rockets. Remember when the Rockets couldn't get anybody to come here until they got Harden, and then all of a sudden Dwight Howard, who shunned them a couple years earlier, said, I want to come to Houston. It's the opposite. Everybody used to want to play in Chicago, and I told Nick this. I told other people that didn't believe me. Even after Jordan left, the United Center sold out every night.
Every night.
Crowd was amazing.
Every night. Every night.
But even now, because of the fact that they were admittedly tanking without admitting it, and starting young guys and sitting down veterans that were healthy and they got called out by the league on it, this is possibly a full-blown reset button, and they just got to clear the vets and completely start over. And when that normally happens, you normally start with a front office and a coaching staff that's redone as well.
Yeah, you're going to have to come all new. They need everything new. Everything new.
So we'll keep an eye on the Chicago situation and see what happens there. A good friend of ours, Sean Respert, is actually one on their bench. So it'll and Jim Boylan. GX Rocket Assistant, is in Chicago as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah. That guy there meant a lot to my career right there.
He's a good dude.
Oh, man. He taught me so much.
Was the video guy under Rudy T. Rudy elevated him to coach, and now he's been under Pop. He's been under he's in Chicago now under Hoiberg, but he's Jimmy's paid his dues. He's a heck of a dude, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sean, you want to get in here and talk to Moochie? What's up?
Hey, Mooch, what's good, man?
How you doing?
I don't know what you're doing these days, but, man, quit it. You need to be in radio, man.
Thanks, man.
Hey, but so I wanted to talk. I know the greats, you know, don't have any really mental weaknesses on the court, like, you know, like the LeBrons and, you know, the James Hardens and stuff. But that goes back to, like, a player like Lance Stephenson. How important is it to have that guy to mess with your psyche on the court? Who would you say describes that role on the Rockets? I know we have more of an enforcer role, like PJ Tucker and stuff. But just when you need a dude to just go get in the middle between somebody's ears, man, who you gonna call on, man?
I mean, that's probably the guy. That's the one they need to call on. If I was gonna have a guy do it, that's who I would have do it, because he's such a big guy. I mean, he's smaller than most, but what he lacks in where he lacks size. He lacks in width. he's a big guy, a
and he's
strong
kind of the only guy on the
and
roster that
he's
can
not
do.
He's not afraid of anyone. So if I was going to say if I was going to pick a guy, that's who I would pick, because I think the other guys, they could come in and do some things, but like Joel said early, the Nene thing didn't work out. So yeah, PJ would have to be my guy.
And here's the thing: he's not in the studio. We're not trying to blow smoke up, but PJ Tucker is a bigger, more physical Mario Elie. And he's the guy from the locker room to what goes on the floor is a guy that will police it. If the coaches won't, he'll take care of it. And that's what you like to see. And again,
that's a great comparison.
I've also mentioned this a lot to you guys as we've gone through off the air, but I'll mention it on the air too. The other thing when you talk about a guy like PJ Tucker is not only did he help for all the things that we just talked about, but he helped James Harden by not being an opponent anymore. Because PJ Tucker was one of the three or four guys that you don't want to call them Harden stoppers, but they used physicality, they used a little bit of chippiness and dirtiness, and they used a whole lot of crap talking to get into his head, to where Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker, Tony Allen, those were guys that Harden didn't like to see, and they really got under his skin. And you can go from coaches to players that played with him that said, James may be mailing this one in tonight, or he doesn't like that because he doesn't like the way they play it. Adding him to your team takes one. There's one less guy that's going to give him a hard time too. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, when he starts to develop a relationship with him, and he sees this guy's got my back, and he'll knock someone on their ass for me.
Oh yeah,
that means a lot.
Oh yeah, that goes a long way. That means from now on, when you hit Harden, you better be looking over your shoulder right away, because PJ's going to be coming.
When you get hit hard, you can get hit hardened by PJ Tucker. See what I did there, Nick? I didn't even get your.
I didn't get the gong. I was going to give you the gong, but I didn't have the right page up.
They give me a hard time, Mooch. They call them dad jokes. I just go with what's funny. I'm not a comedian. I just work here. Right now, I want to tell you that we got more of the show coming up. But again, I want to tell you about a new sponsor to the show that we're very pleased to have. You heard my man Nate Griffin on Friday. He talks about Hawk Security, and I'm going to tell you like Nate does. Look, I'm a husband. I'm a father. My main job is protecting what matters most to me. That's my wife, my daughter, my family. That's why you need to go to someplace like Hawk Security to protect your family. Write this number down, 281-947-HAWK. Hawk Security, 24/7 full service home security company for your house that's dedicated to protecting what matters most to you. They specialize in burglary, intrusion detection, video surveillance, life safety, and fire detection. If you want peace of mind, knowing your family and your home is safe and protected even when you're gone, you owe it yourself. Call Hawk Security today, 281-947-HAWK. First 100 people that call in, write this down right now. First 100 people to call in and mention the promo code Nate, you'll get a free doorbell camera, and we know how important those are with packages being stolen off your front porch lately. You get free installation of that camera, and you get GoHawk Smart Home Security packages that save you $400. That's $400 in savings. All you do, 281-947-HAWK. They take care of the rest. See who's at your door without having to move. You can even set it up so you can work it off your phone. It's great stuff. It's all Hawk Security. 281-947-HAWK, promo code Nate. Take advantage of this special radio offer with ESPN 97.5. Protect what matters most with Hawk Security. And check them out online at hawksecurity.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's back tomorrow from his comedy tour. That means Moochie Norris in today after a stellar day last Thursday. Moochie joining us to talk some hoops today. It's been already a great show as time's flying by. Don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Kevin Durant liked Instagram comments that were saying the problem in OKC was Russell Westbrook. Can you just let it go? You got the team you wanted. You got the ring you wanted. Stop being so salty.
He's the last guy I thought would be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I never thought KD would turn into this dramatic player. And he's not extremely dramatic, but way more dramatic than the KD we knew at Oklahoma City.
What a wuss. Come on, man. All right.
I just think he ain't gonna call him a wuss. I just think it was a lot more there going on with those two guys than advertised. So, you know, I think it's, you know, now that they're separate, I think some things are just coming out. And they may still be
Look at how long it took for them to even be able to, like, shake hands, through all-star games and everything else.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, the bottom line is, Robin wanted to be Batman, and Batman wasn't giving up the cape, so something had to give. And KD just basically said, okay, I'm gone, and then Russ, I predicted it before. I didn't predict the triple-doubles, but I predicted it as soon as KD left, Russ was going to have a hell of a year because he was going to prove that he could stable the load as the man.
Yeah.
And he did that. But it's different this year. I watched that team, and I see them with an early lead in the first half the other night, double digits. I see them playing well, and I'm like, this is where the old OKC teams would just put the pedal down and race you right off the floor. Instead, OKC over and over again just keeps leaving the door open, and then a guy from an unexpected source, Ricky Rubio, finds the fountain of shoots, starts making shots, which he can't do. You and I were talking about this before the show. And the next thing you know, you find yourself down 17, and it's over in that game. Now, Russ comes out and says, well, it won't happen again. But guess what? There's a kid named Mitchell sitting there, too. You got your hands full. You need help.
Yeah, he does. I just think the other guy's going to have to play better in order for them to win and get through this series. But Utah is the other team. I picked two teams that were going to be problems for, and that was Utah and Minnesota.
Really?
The Rockets playing one and Oklahoma's playing the other one. So it's interesting to look at that because we also said that Houston could be down 2-1, which is what's going on with Oklahoma. So it's easy to say you're going to do something, but right now you're down 2-1. They're feeling good about themselves right now. Ricky Rubio had a sensational night. An out-of-body experience. I mean, I watched him walk around with his chest out like I've never seen before.
Remember we said about confidence is a dangerous thing?
So
especially when you're playing good in the playoffs. If you just get on just a mini roll in the playoffs, I think that just does wonder for any player's confidence. And it sometimes leads into the next season. Like, it translates into the next season. So I didn't think Ricky Rubio would ever do something like that. I was kind of upset when the Rockets had an opportunity to keep him. And, Joel, you kind of explained to me why that deal went down the way it did. But I didn't expect him to shoot like that in the playoffs. No way.
Nah, and I don't expect him to shoot like that again.
You don't?
I mean, throughout his career, even when he first came in, after scouting him and looking at him and seeing what he's what his game was like, it's about creating and making the players around him better. It's never been about him scoring. And when he is scoring, it's something going to the basket. It's never been about his jump shot. He's not a jump shot shooter, let alone he was making these shots off the dribble, which is even a tougher shot.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and look, and here's the thing. When you look at all the different things that they have to deal with, Utah has been an offensively challenged team. Mitchell's been the only guy consistently. Gobert gets his around the rim. But that's why I looked at the series and I said, look, you got a great defensive team there, but you got a lot of weapons on OKC. And you got a team that can play both ends of the floor when they're motivated. And it looked like late in the season, they got to, besides Portland, they got to be the hot team. They got the home floor. They gave it away, as we said over and over again. As much as you work all season to get that home floor, you can lose it in one game, and OKC did that. But I thought, hey, here's a way to grab the bull by the horns and take the series back over, win this game in Utah right off the bat. But they let another lead slip, and they've been doing that a lot. And that's something you can't do in the playoffs. We mentioned what the Rockets have done in terms of letting teams in and hang around, but they've won games. That's the difference between these two teams. OKC loses tonight as much as I think as this team could do a lot of damage if they continue to stay in it. They're done if they lose tonight, in my mind.
Absolutely. They let this game go, it's over. They can pretty much start getting ready. What, the Kenny Smith, let's start fishing, baby. Let's get on the boat.
Yeah.
But me and you talked about this a little earlier. Westbrook not taking those shots in the fourth quarter. 15 touches
did
and not
take
one
a shot
attempt.
The entire fourth quarter.
So in my mind, I don't know if he was trying to prove something or what's going on, but that's not Russ. That's not him. And there's no way they can expect to win with him not taking any shots in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the fourth quarter, it's so imperative to close, I think, close strong in the playoffs and close strong in general, even in the regular season, but especially in the playoffs. So I found that shocking. I didn't even notice until you brought it up, Mooch. But, yeah, I you have to be able to keep that confidence level, which is something James Harden has kind of been critical, you know, criticized for in the past, especially last season, closing out the fourth quarter, closing it out strong. I don't know if it was because of the lack of attempts, but, yeah, I think it's important for him to take those shots.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting to see. They play tonight as well as the Rockets in Minnesota. So we'll see how that game goes because I think we're all in agreement. It sounds like, Nick, you're on board with this too. Look, if they lose tonight, series over. Yeah. The OKC experiment has gone south. Carmelo has looked awful again. And oh, by the way, in case you're scoring at home from a financial standpoint, he's got like a $28 million player option for next year that he's going to pick up.
Mm,
so
absolutely.
You're stuck with him in OKC for another year. So good luck with that and trying to maintain Paul George, who probably doesn't want to see him yanking 30-footers cold off the bench anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. If they lose this game tonight and they start heading into the summer early, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I'm pretty sure all that Gatorade didn't expect you to have the playoff pee down your leg like the race car driver and find yourself on the outside looking in at the playoffs. So we'll take a break. We'll continue to roll on. Hey, 2 hours in the books already. 1 hour still to go with the big show. As we continue with Mooch and Nick, I'm Joel. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today.